Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the current state of agriculture during the pandemic? Let's go in-depth with Mike Nagg, Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Iowa. Well, how are you, Mike?
I'm doing all right. You know, these are some challenging times for our producers, really all across, well, just for everybody, all across our economy. Agriculture is not immune from that, and especially our livestock producers are having a significant challenge due to a market disruption, and for our pork producers dealing with processing disruption. You know, maybe the only bright spot that's out there is we've had a really good spring when it comes to planting progress, and so that's something that's been very positive for us. Things have gone well there. The weather's cooperated, and boy, after the last couple of years, we sure have needed and wanted those ideal conditions.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about the status of the pork industry right now?
Yeah, you know, I'll start with just that market disruption. When you think about how supply chains that usually feed into the food service industry, so restaurants, hospitality, schools, think of the liquid eggs, and about 70% of what we produce in the state of Iowa, we're the number one egg producing state in the nation, goes into egg products, and so they've had a massive disruption. Their costs are well below the cost of production right now. Dairy, you know, think of all the milk that goes into schools and that disruption, and our turkey industry is a significant supplier of sliced turkey to Subway and to Jimmy John's, and of course those sales are down, and so our turkey producers really all across the board experiencing a market disruption. And then we've got, in the pork industry, we've got that market disruption plus a processing disruption. And so at any given time in the state of Iowa, we normally would process around 150,000 pigs per day. And we've been pretty consistently running about 50,000 pigs short for the last couple of weeks. And what that does is it just creates a backup of animals in that system. And our producers and you know, these are caregivers of animals. These are livestock producers. They raise livestock. They don't want to be thinking about how to dispose of animals. And so they're looking for every way they can to manage through that. So, you know, find some additional space or be able to market some pigs directly off of the farm, to change the feed ration and slow down the rate of gain. Those are all things that our producers are working to try to slow things down and buy themselves some time as we wait for this processing capacity to come back online. And then, unfortunately, it's becoming more and more real that our producers are going to have to look at more widespread euthanasia and disposal of animals. And that, too, it's a problem economically, but, again, from a mental and emotional standpoint, that takes a toll on folks as they have to think about those tough decisions.
Well, and at the same time, shortly before we started speaking, I saw something come across my desk that Hy-Vee is going to start limiting purchases of meat, and Costco already has. So we have limited purchasing of meat, but there's too much meat on the market. What's wrong?
We've got enough supply on the farm. We just can't get it to the grocery store, and that's where that processing disruption is creating issues. And, you know, I think on this point of, the supply has been impacted. There's just no doubt about that. And so when you start to see retailers looking at limiting, again, let's not forget that we have slowed processing down. We haven't shut processing off completely. And so there's still product available. It might not be the cuts that you're looking for, and certainly availability might be an issue. And so, again, this is an opportunity for folks to remember, don't hoard, don't buy more than you need, you know, buy what you need and only that much, and know that the system's going to continue to operate. But it's just a reminder of the importance of our food and agriculture supply chain and how any disruption to that, ultimately, while it's economically devastating to our producers, it also ultimately impacts consumers in their choice and their availability at the store.
More in depth after this.
I I continued my conversation with Mike Nagg, Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Iowa. Well, there's been critics of the supply chain out there for a long time, critics of vertical integration, too few companies doing the processing. In these times, it seems they've got a point.
Well, look, and remember that the main issue that's impacting right now is worker availability and worker issues at the processing plant. And so that's, I think, what we've got to really focus on in the near term. I think there'll be time for and it'll be appropriate to look at all the supply chain and what we learned and what worked and what maybe didn't work or as well as we'd like it to. And I think there'll be time for that kind of analysis and should be done immediately. We need to look at running plants and providing the testing and the resources and that folks need to be taking mitigation steps to protect workers at the end of all of this. And the president invoked the Defense Production Act when it comes to meat processing. At the end of all this, it comes down to whether or not workers have the confidence to go to work, whether they feel like they can safely work. And I think that can be accomplished through aggressive testing, which the state of Iowa has been doing, and also providing them with protective equipment and taking care of them when they're at the plant and giving good recommendations for when they're home. That's how we get plants running up to speed again.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Workers need to feel comfortable, but one of the announcements that came down last week from Iowa Workforce Development is if you aren't comfortable, you still have to go to work or you're going to lose your unemployment benefits. What are your thoughts on that?
And that's real. You know, when it's time to go back to work, we need to go back to work as a country. And we can only do this for so long. And so I think that mentality is right. You know, we're going to open back up. We're state of Iowa. The governor started us on a path of reopening slowly in measured steps and 77 of the 99 counties. And part of that is for folks returning to work. You know, we're going to have to learn to live with this and to take steps to protect ourselves. And employers are going to have to take steps to protect employees. But again, that's where I keep coming back to. If we do testing and we show who's positive and who's not and who's got antibodies and then start to manage the workforce accordingly, I believe that's how we're going to have to manage through this. And again, do all the right things on site too. Mitigation measures, you know, shields and barriers between workstations and spreading folks out at lunch. Those are all the things that are happening in plants, personal protective equipment. But again, it's got to become more and more a part of what we get accustomed to, I think, in all walks of our life.
What are you really focusing on? I mean, is there some aspect of the industry that your administration, your organization has to really focus on, spend a lot of time solving problems?
You know, we're doing a lot of things. We're engaged in the Feeding Iowans task force that the governor set up, trying to connect the dots with surplus food, with food banks and food pantries, and we know that'll be a great need. Operationally, you know, we still have service. We still have a mission. We still need to provide customer service. So we're doing that. We're working remotely and largely, but, you know, we're focused on those things. I would say that most of my time right now is focused on this livestock issue, again, whether it's our egg producers or the disruption in the cattle market or with pork producers. And we've got a group, a resource coordination center, an RCC, that I've stood up. It's an incident command structure that is really focused on trying to help producers, help our livestock producers through these times. And would encourage folks, if they want more information, they can call the RCC or they can visit the website iowafarmerhelp.com. And the phone number is 515-725-1005. And again, this is a place for livestock producers who are working through these challenging times to call and talk to somebody and get some resources. And so that's been a big focus of ours over the last now week and a half to 2 weeks.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Mike Nagg, Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Iowa. Well, now, I don't read a lot about the cattle market. I mean, I don't go looking for it. I just sort of see what comes across my desktop. I see a lot on hogs, but I don't see a lot on cattle. Can you sort of fill us in what's happening with cattle?
You know, largely the same types of impact to that you're seeing in other sectors. One, you've got this market disruption, and again, the shift from things that you would normally supply to a restaurant or to a hotel for conference food and those types of things versus what we go to the grocery store and buy. And so that's created a market disruption. And then in the processing side of things, again, we don't have a lot of processing in the state of Iowa. We've got the plant in Tama, and we've got a small plant in northern Iowa, but most of our cattle are processed outside of the state of Iowa, so we don't have quite as much of that focus on what's happening in the state of Iowa, but it certainly does impact our producers. And they are also experiencing a slowdown and some shutdowns on the beef processing side of things too. Now, cattlemen and women have a few more options and a little more time to work with in terms of bringing those cattle to market a little heavier. And so they can wait a little longer to try to get that get their animals to processing. But again, those have costs to those producers, and a lot of cases we've got folks that are trying to sell and they can't even get a bid from a packer. And so again, that just creates a backup and an economic hardship for our cattle producers as well.
Is it my imagination, or has sort of trade and tariffs and all of that sort of been set aside for now?
You know, this is one of those things that as we looked at coming into 2020, we were all hopeful that we would, you know, we would be able to experience the upside, the benefit of these trade agreements that were put in place late last year and into the beginning of this year. The USMCA coming across the line, a phase one deal with Japan, a phase one deal with China, and be able to really continue to focus on and work through those trade issues and ultimately, you know, start to bring these tariffs down and normalize trade and take advantage of these enhanced agreements. And I think that's maybe been one of the greatest disappointments so far this year, is that we haven't had a chance to really feel the effect of those trade agreements. Now, we just need to remember those are still in effect, and there will be some benefit that will come from those things in time as exports and international trade are restored. And we've got some bright spots. Soybean exports to China have been up, and there's been some meat that's moved around the world. So, you know, it's not all bad news in terms of that export picture, but we're also just, again, not being able to take that full advantage. So I think there's still work ongoing quietly, and, you know, I know we're, in fact, we just heard the announcement that we're entering into negotiations with the UK. It's a good thing. There's still work being done with a trade agreement a couple countries in Africa. And so those are still positives that are happening out there. It's just that we'll have to normalize and stabilize our situation before we can really feel the full effect of those things.
I'm not doing a lot of traveling, doing a lot of my interviews from home like I'm supposed to be doing, but I had to head to Des Moines this morning, and I stopped and got gas in Pleasantville, and I paid $1.40 a gallon. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it's been as low as 99 or something in Ankeny. That has to be really hurting ethanol, isn't it?
It is. You've got a couple things happening here. One is oversupply of oil on the global market, which has created historic price drops. And so that's impacting. You've got as much as a 50% reduction in the amount of transportation fuel demand in this country. Just think of it. As you said, we're traveling less. We're flying less. We're using less fuel. If we're using less fuel, we're using less ethanol. And that industry is absolutely on its heels. Much of the industry is shut down or certainly idled back, and because there is just physically nowhere else to go with ethanol that's being produced. You know, in a state like Iowa, again, the number one ethanol producing state in the nation, about half of our corn is sold to or goes through an ethanol plant. Now, on the backside, we have DDGs, a very high quality feed ingredient that comes out, but we also have that ethanol. And so it's a massive market disruption for our grain farmers ultimately as well. And so that's one that we're watching. We still think the ethanol industry has not yet received any direct sort of assistance, and we think that needs to be done, because this is an important infrastructure. It's an important industry. It's they're high quality, good jobs. There's economic activity that supports communities, rural communities across the state. Of course, we all know that there's also a benefit to consumers, cheaper gas at the pump for those higher blends of ethanol, good for the environment. So those things are all still real and important, and we really want there to be a good industry to stand back up and continue to grow and thrive in this state, and they are experiencing very difficult times right now.
Any bright spots on the horizon?
Well, I think we're all anxious to talk about recovery, and not just recovery and getting back to where to square one, but really how do we position ourselves for growth out of this. And again, Iowa does so many things so well, whether it's our protein production, value-added agriculture, renewable fuels, ethanol, biodiesel. We've got a tremendous, we're still Iowa. We still are Iowa agriculture. We're still the envy of a lot of places around the world, and there's some things that we just do so well here. And so that's why I'm confident that on the other side of this, and we will get through this, we're positioned well to continue to be a major player and an important supplier to the things that people need here and around the world. So that global picture, that big picture, and where we sit in that is still a good thing. It's still a positive thing. And that gives me hope for the future. And of course, as I mentioned at the start, we've just had a tremendous planting season, a great window for folks to get a lot of work done. And, you know, from a mental health standpoint, I think that's been very positive for folks. Now we just need the markets to react, positively as well down the stretch.
Thanks to Mike Nagg for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.